Hi guys, and welcome back to It's a Book Thing. I'm your host, Michaela, and all I can say is sorry because I have procrastinated doing these book talks for a while. So this is all these book talks are going to go out a lot later than I had originally hoped, which is kind of sad. But you know what? That's life, baby. Also, I just recorded 30 minutes of the book talk that I'm talking, or of the book that I'm talking about today, because I realized that I had missed huge major plot points. And so I decided to just, instead of inserting, different clips or whatever, I decided to just delete it because I didn't like it. So that's how it be, So sorry that these are getting out a lot later than expected. Other than that, all I've got to say is let's just get right into this book, because today we are talking about my favorite book in the Lunar Chronicle series, Cress. Wow, what to say about Cress for this overview? Ah, just loved her so much. I think she's so adorable and dorky, and adorkable. I think she's so adorkable. So yeah, for this book, I am going to give it a 5 out of 5 stars. But if I was to grade it like a teacher would grade papers, I would probably give it a 98. So, it's not a full 100, because I don't ever think any book could get a true 100, because I just don't think it would ever happen. It had some issues, but its issues were so minuscule that I don't even really care about them that much. But yeah, I don't know. A 98 out of 100 seems pretty, pretty good. So without further ado, let's just get in. Also, I want to say sorry in advance, because this is probably going to be really, really jumbly, and it's just going to be me rambling because I decided not to do notes today. So I'm probably going to regret that during the editing process, but, for right now, we're living. So we start off the book with a beautiful sight of Cress. And Cress is just sitting there, in her little satellite, doing her sad little Cress things. She's talking to little Cress. She's, working, she's playing games and then working out and stuff like that. And she's having to deal with Sybil, who, I hate Sybil. Honestly, I think it would be totally fine if Sybil died, which she does. So, I'm not upset about it. If you're upset about it, you might need to go see a therapist, because I don't think anyone could ever like Sybil. So, don't talk to me if you like Sybil. We won't be friends. But, I was like, I need you to leave. I didn't like that, I didn't like that Cress had to call Sybil mistress. That's, it leaves a sour taste to my mouth. It grosses me out, and I don't like it, so that's how I feel about that. But so, Cress is sitting there in her satellite, all alone, by her lonesome, and then, bam, she gets a call. And she gets a call from the Rampian, and, it's after she's been, fawning over Thorn and thinking that he's the most romantic guy in the entire planet, and, that he's such a rogue, he's like a bad boy with a heart of gold. He's a bad boy, but he's not really. People think he's a bad boy, but he's not really. And only Cress knows his true feelings. And then, he calls and says one of my favorite lines of all time, which is, "Aces, is all that hair?" And Cress, then hides or whatever. And immediately, Scarlet is like, "What?" Scarlet and Cinder are like, "Dude, you can't say that. She's had no human interactions, and you can't just off the back criticize her for having a lot of hair." And Scarlet's like, Scarlet's like, "You gotta be calm with her, because she hasn't, had a lot of interactions." That's what Scarlet said before they even call her. She's like, "You gotta, give her time. She hasn't had a lot of human interactions, so we don't know how she's gonna behave." And, Thorn just, throws all of that out of the, just throws all of that away and says the stupidest thing that you could ever say. But I don't know. I just thought it was funny. It did make me sad, though. Like, it made me, like, sad that, like, Crest doesn't have enough confidence in herself not to be herself around, you know, who will eventually be her friends. Because, you know, when they call, she has to, like, pretend that she's this actress, you know, and she's just talking to her fans and whatnot. And she just doesn't have the confidence to, you know, just be herself around these people. And that's just so sad. And it's just because, you know, she's been dealt such a raw hand at life. So I don't know. It just makes me, it bumped me out a little bit. I was like, aw, baby, you can be Cress. You don't have to be an actress to get people to like you. You can be yourself. And then, you know, she's talking and she's like discussing, you know, whatnot, like the surveillance and how she's like hiding their ship or whatnot. And then it gets to the point where Cress like says, well, I can't do all that stuff from, you know, the satellite. It would probably be easier for me to do it like on Earth or whatever she says. And they're like, well, we can't come to Luna to come get you. And Cress is so like, no, I'm not on Luna. I'm not on Luna, like, at all. Like, I'm actually on a satellite, you know, orbiting Luna. I'm not on I'm not on Luna. You don't have to go to Luna to come get me. And they're like, well, we've already done a lot of illegal stuff, so, you know, saving one damsel in distress from a satellite, you know, why not? That's not the worst thing you've done. So, yes, we can come rescue you. And finally, after is she 16? I think she's 16. I'm pretty sure she's 16. 16, 17, around that age. After 16 or 17 long, long years of being isolated and, you know, being a human guinea pig, she's finally getting saved, and it's just so, oh my god, I was so happy. Ugh. And then the rescue, and they come, they rescue her, but they don't really, because Thorne gets tied up, and Cress is tied up, and I hated this part so much. They knew it was a trap, immediately, whenever the people came, like, you know, when Sybil and Jason came back with the ship, they knew it was going to be a trap. And that's exactly why Cinder was like, here, I'll go down by myself, because at least I can defend myself. Like, I can kind of, like, fend off the manipulation or whatever. Like, I can kind of do that. So, like, I'll go down by myself. No one else come down with me. Do not come down with me. And what does Wolf do? What does he do? He goes down because, you know, he has his own plans in life. And his plans include getting everyone hurt and injured and getting Scarlet kidnapped and then him getting shot in the chest. So whatever. And then that's when we meet Jason. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I shouldn't say that's when we meet Jason, because we've already met Jason in Cinder, and then, I don't really think we saw him a lot in Scarlet, and then, you know, we met him whenever, like, Cress was running away and was like, please save me, and he was like, no. He's like, bye, and doesn't say, I hate him, I don't like him at all. But so, you know, we meet him, like, we get to see him, like, actually see him as a person, you know, then he shoots Sybil, and he's like, sorry, she's controlling me, and, you know, like, we know that she's not. So, you know, immediately we're like, oh my gosh, he's gonna be an ally, we're gonna like him, he's gonna help us out. No, that's not the case, like, whatsoever, like, at all. Like, no, he just turns into the most annoying, like, douchebag on this trip that we don't need. And the only reason why we need him is because he's a pilot. That is the only thing that Jason is useful for. He's useful for the getaway ship. He's annoying the rest of the book. The entire rest of the book. He's so freaking annoying. And he makes me want to just, like, claw my eyes out. I hate him. I hate him so much. I can't with Jason. He's like the most annoying jerk face in the entire like planet. Like, ugh. He's, ugh. I need to stop saying planet because in this book there's like two planets, so that's kind of confusing, but he's just the, in the universe. There we go. He's the most annoying guy in the entire universe, and that's just on Cinder. Thanks. So, you know, we lose Scarlet, we get Jason, because we need a pilot, and Thorne's missing, because Thorne's now in a satellite that is headed straight to Earth. You know, it's crashing, and Cinder doesn't know how to fly, so, now we get Jason. So, great, and Wolf is dead, and Iko is still a ship, and all we have is Cinder and Jason, and all hope seems lost for our crew. So going back to the satellite, you know, we get Thorne's like trying to, you know, charm the pants off of Sybil, you know, before she gets on the ship and goes to whoever she's going to. So I love that Thorne's like, whenever Thorne is in a situation where he's in trouble, he just immediately goes to, you know what? I'm a charmer. Like, I'm a charming guy. Hi, look at me. I'm so charming. Which, granted, like, he is. I mean, and it's worked for him, like, sometimes. Because whenever he was in jail, he managed to charm the pants off of some police officers to give him a net screen. So, what? Why not? So, I just, you know, if it works, it works. And if you can try, why not try? It doesn't work, though. He ends up, you know, getting mind-controlled and, you know, he gets tied up, which honestly, like, look, I think that it might be useful for the entire crew to just go out and, like, get the chip. Get the chip that, you know, keeps him from being mind-controlled. Because I feel like the fact that we don't have that chip so that we stop being mind-controlled is, like, it's detrimental to the team, because now, because people, you know, can be mind controlled, we've gotten one of our guys shot, one of our guys is locked, like, is tied up, and is headed in a satellite straight to Earth, and the other one got kidnapped. So, like, maybe it might be a good idea to just, you know, have us all get chipped before we go out and go to Luna, which we are doing. So, I can't, whatever. But there we have Thorne's tied up in the bathroom with Cress. I'm very happy that Cress didn't betray us. You know, I think that's so dope that she, you know, she just wanted to get out of the satellite. She wants to not be trying to kill people. She's a good person, and I love her. So then, like, Thorne's, like, cutting her ties, whatever, and she's, like, instead of helping him out, just goes and does the entry stuff. And so when I'm imagining, like, Thorne in this situation, like, going to the bed or whatever, like, I'm imagining him, like, tied, like, his ankles are tied up, his wrists are tied up. He has his knife in his hand, and he's, like, hopping around. That's how I'm imagining this scenario. And it cracks me up every time I imagine it. So, you know, they end up, you know, Cress ends up getting the parachute to, you know, shoot, and then they go, you know, try to brace themselves for the landing, and of course, Thorne knocks his head and is now blind. So, Thorne being blind is, I think, the only thing that gave Cress and Thorne the relationship that they had. Because I think that if Thorne wasn't blind, then he wouldn't be defended. He wouldn't have a reason to have to let his guard, like, not his guard, his walls down. You know, I feel like he's very, like, Thorne is a very, like, self-preserving person. And the fact that he can't preserve himself because he's blind and he's, like, reliant on someone else, I think is the only reason why they have this relationship that they do. So, I think it's so sweet. But I will say, like, their relationship is so, like, from the just get-go, it starts off so good. It's just so funny. And you know, they've landed and Cressa's seeing Earth for the first time. And Thorne's like, you know, Thorne's all like, so what do you see? And she's like, it's so beautiful. And he's like, okay, a little bit more description would be nice. And she goes, the sky is so blue. I've never seen it this blue. And he's like, great. So you've just narrowed it down to like nothing. And she's like, the whole, like, I love her reaction to Earth. And then, oh, that moment when, you know, little Cress is dead and it's her only friend. And like, you can see how, like, truly, like, isolated she was by the fact that she's crying over a freaking computer. And Thorne, oh, I can't with, like, all the stuff that, like, Thorne says. Because Thorne's like, oh no, Scarlet warned me about this. He's like, do we need to hold a little funeral for little Cress? Do we need to bury her? Should I say a few words? And Cress is like, I'm not an idiot. I know that it's just a computer, but it was a computer that was with me like my entire time that I was, you know, trapped in this jail cell in the sky. So excuse me for being upset. You know, and then he gets them all ready and he gets them ready to, you know, go out into the field. Or not the field, you know, the dunes or whatnot. And so, you know, he's such a, like, I think you can really tell that if he had stayed in, like, his cadet programs or whatever, I think you could tell that he probably would have done really well just by the fact that he knows what he's talking about. Like, he still remembers, like, how to survive out in different climates. And he obviously was paying attention if he knows all of these things. And so I can't remember exactly why he left or if we even ever get told that, but I think that that's just one of, like, I think if I had to think about it, I don't think Thorne is good at doing things that would benefit him, if that makes sense. I think that he's self-preserving, but he's also, like, self-damaging. So anything that could be good for him, he just, like, destroys. And I think that you can kind of tell that with, you know, the things that Cress finds in his past, you know, from how he, from the beginning, was always getting into trouble and whatnot. You know, he stole his mom's jewelry and he beat up people. And, you know, he started fights and whatnot, you know, all the stuff that she finds. I think you can kind of see that, you know, he's in a self-destructing life. Like, he wants to preserve himself, but he doesn't want to let anyone else in, if that makes sense. And I think you can tell that. Like, I think that it gets shown, you know, whenever he's stealing from his family or whenever he's fighting his, like, friends or whatever. You see it a lot with him and Cress. You know, he could definitely have a relationship with Cress. Definitely could have a relationship with Cress. But he doesn't want her to get close because he thinks that he's going to, you know, hurt her and he's going to ruin her, whatever, for whatever reason. And it makes me sad. Just that whole, his whole thing makes me sad. Going back to Cinder and the gang, because they go to Africa to go see Dr. Erland. I was so happy that Cinder got finally just an ounce of recognition that she deserves. You know, she did. She stood up for an entire, like, subculture of people. Like, she stood up for an entire, like, are they a culture? Because shells, would they be a race? Would they be a, what would they be? Culture? I'm going to just go with culture because culture seems like the best fit. They're an entire, like, culture of people that she stood up for that she doesn't even know. And, you know, Dr. Erland, like, told all the people in that little town that he's like, well, you know, she did stand up for you guys. He's like, she stood up for an entire people that was being, like, massacred. And that have to, like, run away for their freedom. And she's stepping you. And then, you know, they all bring her gifts, and they're all so sweet to her, and they're all like, oh, look at me, and they paint their arms to be like, you know, they paint their arms to be like cyborg arms and cyborg legs, and I just love it so much. But then, you know, the entire time Cinder's like, I don't deserve it. Like, I don't deserve their kindness. I don't deserve any of this. Like, I haven't even decided whether or not I'm going to do this, which, yeah. Yes, she has. She has decided that she's going to overthrow the monarchy. We all know it. Like, she's, you know, debating it in her head. But I was like, from the get-go, we knew she was going to do it. We knew she was going to do it from the get-go, from the way that she stood up for those people. We always knew that this is what she was going to do. Always. So, I just love her, and I think it's so sad that she has to deal with all this. And then we get more of Wolf. Just, I was glad that he was knocked out, like, the entirety of the time that he was on. I was glad that we didn't really have to see him at all this entire time. I really enjoyed that so much, because I really can't deal with Wolf and his annoying habits and whatnot. So I was really glad that we never had to see him until the very end, which is the only time that he was actually useful for anything. So, yay. And then Jason, the only thing he's useful for is, you know, providing... You know, he's only really useful for teaching Cinder how to fly, like how to pilot. He has some doctory skills, and so that was nice. But other than that, the only thing he really did was talk massive craps about people and be a total douche. And we just thought that he was going to be such a good guy. And I don't want to say that we all thought that he was going to be a good guy. But, like, you know, he started off with some promise, you know, like, you know, shooting Sybil and claiming that he does everything for his princess, which... totally backfired because he was actually talking about Winter, but whatever. But, you know, like, he had so much promise. Like, he was thriving, and then he just has to be a douchebag the entire time. I just hate him. Ugh. So, you know, I was glad that, you know, the whole time that they're in Africa, you know, Cinder is just coming to terms that this is, like, what her life is going to be like, you know, coming to terms with the fact that she can do this. She has people to back her up. And I think that's sweet. And the only parts that I really liked from, you know, Cinder and Jason and Wolf and seeing all of them and whatnot is just because we got to see Cinder actually get to interact with her people, you know, her lunar subjects or whatever. I don't want to call them her subjects, but, like, the people that she will be caring for whenever she becomes the queen. So I really thought that those parts were nice. I will say I was more happy whenever we got to go back to the Thorn and Crest scenes. So with that said, I'm going to just go back to them. Yeah. So Thorn and Crest, they are in the dunes. They are traveling. And bam, Crest just gets sick because now she has an infection in her feet, which I didn't know that could, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I have access to medical care. You know, I've never had to have an infection. You know, like, I've never had, like, an infection that can't be treated or whatever. I've never seen, like, what happens when an infection can't be treated or whatnot. So I didn't know that you could actually, like, get sick from an infection. So, you know, she gets sick. She gets sick. Because, you know, she has blisters and blood and stuff on her feet, which is, God, that's disgusting. I know that it was, like, you know, it's not her fault that she has no shoes. She's never had to have any shoes. But, ugh, gosh, it's so gross that she, you know, she has those, she has boils and whatever on her feet. But then, you know, she has, like, that fever or whatever, and so she's, like, she confesses her love for Thorn. She's like, Thorn, I love you. And he's like, yeah, it figures because I'm the only guy that you've ever, like, actually interacted with. So, I mean, sure, you love me. And she's like, no, like, you don't understand. Like, I actually love you. And he's like, oh, okay, we can deal with that later. And she then starts, like, getting all teary. And she's like, I'm going to die and I'm not going to be kissed. And Thorn says the most relatable shit in the entire book, because he just goes, Look, I haven't taken a shower in 2 days. I haven't brushed my teeth in 2 days. You don't want to kiss me. I guarantee you that you don't want to kiss me. I promise you that. It would not be enjoyable for either of us. And Kress is like so like brokenhearted, and he's like, look, you're not going to die, but if we do get to a point where life seems bleak and we both might die, I'll kiss you. And he's so like sincere about it, because look, as much as Thorne likes to make himself out to be like this big bad, like this big baddie, you know, he's not. He's such a sweetie. He's such a sweetheart. He has this big heart of gold, and he just wants to protect people, and he wants people to love him. And and then, you know, they find, I don't even remember what their names are. They find those people in the desert. And Kress is like, oh my god, I see like an animal. And then the animal dies. And Kress is like, oh my god, someone just killed an animal. But then it's people. And so then the people come and help them. And then, you know, Kress and Thorne are now married. So Kress and Thorne, jeez Louise. So Kress and Thorne are, you know, married to, you know, this group of people, or you know what I mean. They appear married to all of these people. You know what I mean? So Kress and Thorne meet these people whose names I don't know. What their names are, so I can't really tell you that. But so they meet these people, and then while they're meeting these people, they claim that they're, you know, married, which, you know, it's kind of sad, really, when you think about it from Gress's point of view, because, like, you know that Thorne doesn't really care about it that much, but it is kind of sad that he would say something like, you know, oh yeah, we're married. We're a married couple. Eh. But, yeah, I don't know. And then he's like, oh yeah, this is our honeymoon. Like, you could have just as easily said that y'all were siblings. Or you could have said that y'all were friends backpacking and got lost. Like, there were so many things that y'all could have said other than, like, oh yeah, we're married with no ring. Come on, Thorne. Even you aren't that true. So, I don't know. I can't with them. Or I can't with Thorne in this scenario. And, you know, he's, like, charming the pants off everyone. And then he's like, oh yeah, I totally forgot. Yeah, Kress is definitely, like, super sick. Like, she's sick. And then she stands up to, like, go to the tent and then passes the F out. And then is now in, like, I don't want to say she's in a coma, but she's, like, pretty much in a coma. So, you know, they take care of her and whatnot, and then they go into town, and then Thorne and Kress get, like, this romantic room by themselves, and that scenario was funny, or that part was funny, because, you know, Kress is all, like, we have a room together with one bed, and Thorne's, like, yeah, like, we're supposed to be married, and she's, like, but she's like, there's only one bed. And then, you know, Kress gets to take, I don't know why I felt so happy about this, but Kress gets to take a shower, like, for as long as she wants. And she's taking, like, she doesn't have to, like, which, look, if I was living by myself, all I would want to do is take, like, super, super long showers and, you know, take baths and stuff like that. But, like, Kress never had to do that. And Kress was in isolation for, like, many, many years. And so now she gets to take a shower by herself. And, you know, she gets to take a shower. Like, I think it just made me happy that she got to take a shower and she didn't have to care about, like, you know, who was looking at how much water she's been using, or, you know, she didn't have to take a shower that depended on, like, time or whatever. She didn't have to fish her hair out of the drain, or stop the, like, get her hair out of the drain before, you know, it went down. She just, like, she's living a brand new life, and I'm really proud of her. And then, you know, she's feeling herself. And then Thorne, of course, has to go down and get jiggy with a freaking android, which, not saying anything bad about androids, but, like, you have a perfectly good girl upstairs that you could, I don't want to say get jiggy with, because I don't like that in terms of crass, but like, also, what blind man is like, oh yeah, you know what, I'm going to go and play cards as a blind man. I don't know, I just don't respect Thorne's whole attitude while they're at the, like, while they're at, like, the hotel. Like, I don't, you know, you make Kress figure out how they're going to contact Cinder. The least you could do is do what you say you're going to do and go get some clothing and go get some shoes and not be flirting with an android and playing cards and acting like a hot mess. And then, you know, Cinder, I mean, Kress is so sad, and then she gets kidnapped, which of course she does because she's so naive and she doesn't know who to trust. And of course she would get kidnapped. I'm not surprised, like, in any way, shape, or form. And then, she gets kidnapped, and then she gets taken to her dad. Like, and then she doesn't know it's her dad, and she thinks it's just some creep messing with shells and taking their blood for who knows what reason. And she hates him. And then he's like, oh my gosh, it's my little crescent. And I'm like, God damn it, of course this is gonna happen. It just makes me so sad. I'm not gonna lie. I'm very upset about this whole scenario, and it makes me want to cry. Just, Kress thought no one loved her, and she's so wrong, because her dad's been spending this entire time trying to find her, and then he finds her, and then of course he gets the freaking plague, which, dude, that sucks. Like, Matt, like, of course he would get the plague that mutated in Africa. Like, of course that would happen. Of course he would get that plague, because of course that would freaking happen. God dang. It's a hard nut life for Kress, and that's all I gotta say about that. So, yes, Kress gets kidnapped. Thorne shoots his way out to go get Kress, and then while he's doing that, he ends up getting an android body for Iko. So, honestly, it's not a win-win-win. There's kind of a lose situation in there, too, but who knows? I'm just kind of happy that we ended up getting a body for Iko, because that's sweet. Like, she doesn't have to be a ship anymore. Like, how adorable. Like, yay. Okay, and so, let me think, because now I'm off track. Africa. Oh, yeah, because then Thorne goes and finds them in Africa. And it just happens to be the very place that, you know, the whole gang is, which, honestly, there's a lot of, like, things have to work in this, like, this perfect, like, absolute way, like, in these books. Like, they have to just be perfect. And they end up working out perfectly, which is just, I mean, honestly, go you guys, because that's fantastic. I mean, it makes me laugh that everything just so happens to go, like, exactly how it's supposed to go. So, I don't know how to feel about that, but so Thorne just and Thorne is going in blind. Like, the whole thing that cracks me up about Thorne is that he's just, like, running rampant blind. Like, he's just going into situations blind as a freaking bat, dude. And he goes to go get Kress. And Kress is like, I'm sorry, I need to, like, Kress is going in for Wolf, and it's like, I'm so sorry, I need to borrow your net screen, I hope that's okay. And then Wolf, like, goes and, like, is like, choking her or whatever, is, like, going, threatening to kill her, and then Jason's like, dude, put the girl down, and then the doctor's like, please don't, because, you know, she's my daughter. And then Thorne runs in, and he's just blind, and he has a gun. And he's like, Kress, are you okay? And she's like, no, there's a wolf here, and there's this guy who, you know, I saw my satellite a lot, and he works for Sybil, and then there's this doctor who's extracting my blood, and he's like, I'm sorry, can you, like, he's like, can you rewind, just tell me who I can shoot. And then Wolf's like, Thorne, and he's like, what? It reminds me of that scene in Shrek, where it's like, donkey, king, you know what I mean, like,
Dad, Mom, Shrek, Fiona, Donkey. That's how this whole scene reminded me of.
But of course, we can't have nice things. We can't have fun moments in this series, because immediately after the fun moments, it just all goes to shit. And we get, oh my god. And then the Commonwealth people find them in Africa, because of course they would. Of course that happens. Who would have freaking thought? Not me, but it happened. And so they're like all getting ready to like shoot everyone, and then everyone around Cinder, the people that have been waiting for Cinder to come and reclaim her throne and get their whole lives back on track, are like, you're gonna let Cinder leave. And everyone's like, you know, the guard people are like, why? Because she's a fugitive. You shouldn't want her. Like, you shouldn't, like, be protecting her. And then that one lady is, like, the one lady whose son killed himself instead of, you know, fighting for, or instead of joining the guard for Luana, is, like, she fought for us, and it warmed my little cold dead heart. And I wanted to cry so many times in this book. There's a lot of things in this book that are just so freaking sweet, that just like warm my heart to no end, that just make me so happy. But of course, so then, you know, they escape, obviously, because of the kind people that live in Farafrar, if that's how you pronounce it, that live in the African city of Lunars. And finally, they're like, you know what? We need to go kidnap Kai before we go to Luna. Like, I have this whole plan. Like, Cinder's like, look, I got this idea. We just need to figure out a way to get the wedding on Luna. You feel me? And, you know, I love whenever Cinder is, like, telling her plan to, like, Dr. Erlen. And Dr. Erlen's like, I sincerely hope that's not your plan. Because I know that you would not be that stupid to believe that that would actually work. And then she's like, okay, so I need to rethink my plan. And now my plan involves kidnapping Kai. So let's do that. And then, you know, I love the build up to like going and kidnapping Kai. You know how Dr. Erlen has to go with Thorne to get Thorne's eyesight fixed, and Cress has to go with Wolf, who tried to kill her, to go stop the security cameras, and Cinder and Aiko have to go kidnap Kai. And who am I missing? Oh yeah, Jason. Ugh. Jason has to be the one to fly the getaway ship, so he's important. And everyone has their little, like, you know, roles, and then they all play their roles off so well. And, you know, Crest gets to wear her nice little ball gown, and, you know, they're in the limo going to go, you know, do their part. And Crest is, like, you know, comforting Wolf, because she knows that Wolf loves Scarlet, and it's so, I just love that Cress is just like, so, Cress is so wholesome, and she's such a good person, and I just love her so much, and she could have turned out way worse. She could literally be psycho, and she's not. So, I'm proud of my baby girl. But then, you know, we get Aiko has her body now. She's freaking living. I'm loving everything about Aiko. Aiko is such a super spy mastermind. Love that chick. She's amazing. And so she's going and she's doing her thing, and she gets into the palace, and she's, you know, she lets Cinder and the guys in, and the guys go down to the lab, and Dr. Erlen's being a total asshat about Thorne, and he's like, I see the way she looks at you. She's too good for you. And Thorne's like, that's what I've been trying to tell her. Yeah, really? No way. Because funny enough, that's what I've been saying this whole time. How crazy. I think it is crazy. I know. How actually insane is that? Seriously, y'all are on the same path. Crazy, right? And then we find out Dr. Erlen has the freaking plague, and then things just get sadder because he's trying to do this one dad thing, which is telling Thorne that he's not good enough for his daughter, which is the only dad thing that he can do. And
It's just so depressing, and I don't even want to talk about it because it's so sad. But then Cress and Wolf shut down the security, and then, you know, Lavanna and her little minion people have to go back to their rooms, and then Kai is in his room, and Cinder comes in, guns ablaze, and shooting people left and right with her little trank darts, and gets inside, and it's like, Kai, hey, what's up, dude? She's like, you ready to go? And he's like, you can't, like, I can't, it's my wedding day, you can't just come in here and do this. And he, like, she doesn't even bother arguing, which I'm very glad about. I'm very glad that we did not have to sit there and listen to them argue, and she just shot him. And then Torrin's like, I don't know if I can trust you. And then he's like, will you promise me that he's not going to come back hurt? And Cinder's like, yes. And then Torrin's like, he has another chip behind his ear. And Cinder cuts it out. And then she takes Sky to go find the other people in the ship, to go get the doctor, you know, to go live their lives. You feel me? And of course, Dr. Erland is dying, and he's like, I'm sorry, fam. Like, I can't go with you. And Cinder's like, what are you talking about? Yes, you can. She's like, we don't have time for this. And he's like, you're right, we don't. And then he's like, Cress, you're my baby. He's like, you're my crescent. We named you after that song. The lullaby that she's been singing to herself the whole time. And she's thought that that song was meant for her the entire time. And I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna get really emotional. I'm gonna cry right now. And I can't cry. Like, I need to just calm down. Like, this is too much. And, you know, so we leave him to die because, you know, we can't protect him. Like, we can't save him. We don't have the cure. And so now he's dying. And now Crescent, oh, that was so sad whenever Cress was like, she couldn't tell her dad that she loved him. And instead, she just said goodbye and he breaks down. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I was so emotional. I was like, at the end of this book, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna freaking lose it. I'm like sobbing. I'm like so upset. And, you know, then of course, instead of having an easy escape, they have to fight Sybil and her freaks of nature. And I mean, they do. And oh, it gets to my favorite part. And Thorn turns to Cress and is like, well, I'm pretty sure we're gonna die. And then he freaking kisses her. Oh my gosh. And it's the most magical kiss. And, you know, and it's just like, it's a kiss because they're about to die. And he's like, I promised you I would kiss you. And he did. He kept his promise despite what her dad thought of him. And I'm just, oh, I resonate with him so much. I just love him. I don't resonate with him. I just love him. I just love him so much. And then, of course, we get badass Cinder moment whenever Cinder just like, honestly, the way I'm imagining this, you know, because it's bioelectricity, right? It's bioelectricity around them. The way that I kind of imagine this is, like, Cinder literally frying someone's brain. Like, she just literally just kills them. It's, like, electrocuting their brains. Like, electroshock therapy, but, like, to the extreme is how I imagine this. So, yep. And then we get, my even more favorite part, which is they get on the ship, you know, they're flying out. Cinder knows a little bit about how to fly a plane. So, you know, they're able to fly a plane that way. Or, no, not Thorn. What am I talking? No, it is Cinder. Yeah, what am I talking about? Again, Cinder, you know, flies a plane because Jason's not there for whatever reason. And they fly away without Jason, which honestly, I could give two cares about because I don't really care about Jason at all. I hate him. And then they're on the ship, and they're flying, and, you know, Wolf is being Wolf, and Cress is sad because she didn't tell her dad that she loved him, and Thorn is trying to convince Cress that they shouldn't be together because God knows why, because Thorn is not good enough or whatever. I'm not even going to talk about that anymore because I just can't with that whole situation. But then we get I've had a lot of favorite parts in those books, and it's probably just because this is my favorite book out of the series. And we get that whole scene with Cinder and Kai. Oh boy. And Cinder's all like, we have, you know, the Princess Celine. And she's like, I don't want you to be too disappointed because you've been looking for her and she's a cyborg. And, you know, I don't want you to be disappointed. He's like, just, I don't care. Where is she? He's like, where, like, is it? I think he does say, ask if it's Scarlet. He's like, oh yeah, is it Scarlet? And she's like, no, it's not. Like, it's. And he's still not getting it. The boy is still not smart enough to understand that it's Cinder. And then Cinder has to, like, she's, like, connecting the dots for him. And he still can't see the picture. And then finally, Cinder just has to be like, it's me, Kai. Like, hi, it's me. Like, I am Celine. Like, yes, it is I. I am Celine. How are you doing? And he's like, oh my god, no way. Crazy. And she's like, I just don't want you to be that upset. He's like, well, I'm just upset that you, like, shot me with a trank dart. And now Lavanna's gonna, like, kill all my people. And she's like, we have a plan and our plan involves you. And then I love how Kai doesn't care that she's a cyborg, like, at all, and, like, takes her, like, cyborg hands and is like, I want to know how you see things with your eyes and all this stuff. He's like, I saw, like, the outline of you as a cyborg. And then of course they kiss each other, and That just was the end of me. My heart grew 3 sizes that day, and man, was it painful. So now we're headed off to do, you know, battle things. We're going to go get Scarlet off of Luna, and we're gonna find out how to not have Kai marry Lavanna, and there's that. All I've gotta say is that I love the new characters in this book. I love Cress. Cress is my favorite character. I love her so much to infinity and beyond. I think she's amazing. I love that we got to see a new dimension of Thorn. You know, I love that we got to see, like, Thorn struggle a little bit with someone seeing him in a different way than he wants to be perceived. Someone seeing that there are good parts to him and him not wanting them to see that. And I'll be honest, I loved it so much. I can't wait to see what happens in this next book. I can't wait to see how we're going to overthrow Lavanna and how we're going to, you know, rescue Scarlet, who has been tortured this entire book. And I didn't want to talk about that because I'm not. Yikes. So, yeah, Scarlet's been tortured. Winter is psycho. And now we get to see an entire book with a psycho Winter. So, can't wait for that. With that said, that is the end of my book talk. Again, you can follow me on my new podcast Instagram. It's ITS, period, a book thing. And then on my Twitter, which is still my personal Twitter, which is Mikayla_101, which is MKAYLA_101. With that said, I hope that y'all like this book talk, and I will see y'all in the next one. Okay, bye!